We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
And good morning and welcome to Focus. This is our morning talk show. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. It is the first Wednesday of the month, and it has been our privilege, joy, tradition, habit to, on this day, be talking about food and cooking with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. Now, we started doing this show a long, long time ago because I think partly because we were looking for something that would be fun that we could talk about and talk about food. And someone suggested, well, you know, you could do a show about cooking. And we were not exactly sure how you do that on the radio. And somebody said, oh, this is the guy you need to get. So we called him, and he was game, although I think he was maybe just a tiny bit skeptical about how you do that. Anyway, he said, yeah, sure, I'll come over. And now, 30 years later, we're still doing it. And what happens is that he picked some particular topic, and we say, well, that'll be our main focus, but there's no rules here. We end up going into some interesting and strange little, down some strange side streets, things that are related to what we're doing. But we generally have one thing that we talk about, and then we talk about that, and we encourage people to call in and suggest recipes or talk about how it is they approach this thing, because partly what we do is acknowledge the fact that particular dishes, there are lots of different ways to do it, and maybe everybody has their own version. So you can tell us about that, or you can ask questions. You know, occasionally also we've heard from people that said, look, I'm trying to make this, and it's just not working. What do you think? Where do you think I'm going wrong? And we always have a good time. And this time around, he said, well, he'd like to talk about flans and custards. So we'll do that. And maybe we have people listening that had some recipes they'd like to share. You can do that very easily by calling us. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's the local number. Toll free, 800-222-9455. So that way you don't have to pay for the call. We also have email. You can send us an email, will-talk@illinois.edu. Any way you want to be involved in the program, you can do that. Welcome back.
Yes, thank
you. Glad to have you here. Now, okay. Here we go. I always say the same thing at the beginning. So, how is it that you decided that this was something that'd be good to talk about?
Well, it's very simple. I had a friend who came to town and was going to cook a birthday dinner for one of our friends and decided that there should be a flan for supper. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I have, you know, I know flan. I know about it. I may have tried to cook. Oh, I did try to cook it once or twice. And it was miserable, and it was a failure. And I even went to Mexico. When I was in Oaxaca, I went to we went to two or three cooks in Oaxaca and had lessons.
Show me how to make this?
Yes. And the trouble about that, and the reason I've been shy about it again, was that the teacher even made a mess. and that teacher wanted to cook it in a pressure cooker. And she was trying to teach the class and do all this and that. And, of course, it cooked too long. I thought it was terrible. I all of a sudden said, you know, never will I even think about eating a flan. But then my friend came down and made that, and it was bam, bam, bam. And it was so good. It was the Mexican style of flan with the caramel on the bottom, mm-hmm. and put into a big ring. It was actually put into a cake pan and then inverted, and it was beautiful and served with strawberries and raspberries and blueberries and blackberries. They were just strewn over. It was so good. I thought, now, if that was that easy, why don't I try to make it? So I tried to make it, and I did. And then I started looking for variations on recipes, and I found I found out why all of the failures have happened. That would be the first piece of information is probably most important. A lot of the recipes call for whole eggs, and some of them for rather large amounts of whole eggs. But in the first one that I tried to make, it was too stringy and rubbery. Now, it had been cooked for an hour, and so number one, I thought, ooh, that's too long, because it shouldn't take that long to do that. So I saw that one of the things that makes it stringy is time. You cook it too long, and it'll get stringy and rubbery. It cooks and gets denser. And number two is that egg whites have a tendency to sort of cook that way faster. So I cut down on the number of egg whites, and I upped the number of eggs. And then the real secret, though, is the milk. And then I'd not known this recipe, but I'd known something about this recipe. I think that what we were talking about once was key lime pie. And key lime pie is made with sweetened condensed milk, which I had never heard of. I think I first ran into a recipe like that it was in the 50s because I was at school. And in the early 50s, I'd learned about making a strange lemon custard of some sort that used Eagle brand sweetened condensed milk. And then that was 50 years ago. So why worry about it now? Anyway, the recipe that I am using, and what it comes down to is that I now know my oven. I now know exactly the right amount to make. I know exactly what to do with it, and I've made tiny, tiny adjustments. And those tiny adjustments may not work for you, but you can look forward to them, and you can make something happen. So my recipe, and I've even then there are two or three people in town that make flan, and so we kind of get together and have a little flan talk. Oh, you put that in it? Well, I'll try that. Well, you do this? Yeah, I do that. And but my recipe as it stands now, and it really works. And look, we have one right here in front of you.
Amazingly enough,
and this is fairly fresh. I made it Sunday. I want you to try it.
So what we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is a little, I said it was a, is that in fact a ramekin?
It's a ramekin.
So it's like a tiny souffle dish.
Yes, it is.
A ceramic dish.
It's a 3-inch.
And it looks kind of shiny on the top, right? So it's like a custard, it looks like, I don't know, kind of like a creme brulee
deal. All of them are alike. It is okay. Like, oh no, go down farther. It'll be a little tough on the top because it's 3 days old. Okay. And it should be... Down underneath all that should be a nice cream that is pretty soft, very soft.
Is there almond extract?
Oh,
in
how did you get that? So yes, almond extract and nutmeg.
That is really, really nice. And that it's a small for me. A little bit would be enough for sweets.
Yeah.
You know, that's like enough for four people as far as I'm concerned. Although probably a lot of people look at that and say, no, I don't think so. I could eat that. That is very, very tasty.
That's why I'm very happy with it. So that's why I want to sort of talk about that. Now, also, I'm out looking for other people's ideas of what it is to do to make a flan, because I know there are lots of variations. I'll just tell mine very quickly, and then you can tell me what you think of that or how you would have corrected it. It's very amusing, and I've recently found out that this recipe that I'm using is probably inspired from the 1950s when the milk companies began to put out various more products in cans. Because we've used evaporated milk all my life. We've always had it in the house. I've often wondered about why we had so much evaporated milk. And I realized that it was because we never had a milkman. And in those days, you did not go down to the store and buy a quart of milk. It wasn't available. You got it from the milkman. And if you didn't have milk delivered, you didn't have milk. But we always had a can of either Carnation or Pet. And you poke the hole in the top with an ice pick, and you used it. Well, that's what the 30s was all about, folks. And unless you had a delivery, you didn't have fresh milk. Anyway, this recipe: 1 can of evaporated milk, 1 can of sweetened condensed milk, which originally started out as Eagle brand, but I found 4 brands here in town that are a little less expensive, and they're related to the stores, the sweetened condensed milk. And then somebody told me about another product, which is very new to me. I think it's called Media Crema. It's a Mexican inspired milk. It's really like creme fraiche. It's really thick and very heavy. It comes in a can or it comes in a jar. You can get the crema in a jar some of the Mexican food stores in town. Mm-hmm. Schnucks has the Media Crema in a can, and it is in the Hispanic section of food there. So you look for that. And it's made by Nestle's in Switzerland, so I don't know what's happening, you know. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, those a can each of those. And then I use what I've done now is that I started with four eggs, and they were whole eggs. And I found that the egg whites were interfering. And I also found out if you use more yolks, you get a creamier substance. So I've changed that to 3 egg yolks and 2 whole eggs. So cut down on the whites and boosted up a little bit on it. And that is simply stirred together. That mixture is just stirred together. And the first recipe that I made was with vanilla and cinnamon. And I put cinnamon in it, and the cinnamon turned the whole thing dark gray, and it's so ugly that I didn't like to eat it. It tasted good, but it just turned into gray cement, and it looked awful. So I said, well, I've got to get away from that. So I saw that I had some almond extract, and I put one teaspoon of almond extract in that entire mixture. Now, that entire mixture of 1 can of each of the milks and the 5 eggs, i.e. egg yolks and eggs, mixes together and will make 6 of these little ramekins. Perfect, mm-hmm. Perfect 6 of these ramekins. And they fit in my special pan that you have to pour bain-marie.
So you did this in a water bath.
In a water bath. It has to be done in a water bath, which keeps everything warm underneath and not burning. And that had always puzzled me. And my oven is small, so the only pan I can put in it is a 9x13. And a 9x13 is perfect because it holds 6 of these, and that amount makes 6 of these. Now you can put it in a cake tin. Now, what I have done is that I have thrown away the caramel because I don't want all that sugar. And I've thrown away the caramel and have it then. So then have I made a flan or have I made a creme brulee or, you know, or what? So anyway, but that's the mixture.
For me, that's plenty sweet. I would not need any additional. I don't need to get your blowtorch out and put sugar on the top
that's creme brulee
topping. Yeah. That I don't need that. This is plenty sweet for me, and I think that it's really good.
And it's only 1 can. It's a small can. Now I think that's about as sweet as you need to get. Now, that brings us to another subject. There are flans that are savory instead of sweet. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, oh, good, I could go out and get condensed milk, unsweetened. Nope. 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 You can't.
Well, now, see, okay, I'm sure we've talked about this before. What exactly is the difference, aside from the sweetness, between evaporated milk and condensed milk.
Well, one of them's evaporated and one of them is condensed.
All right, Mr. Barnes.
Well, I asked that question myself. Like why do you need to pay attention to that? Mm-hmm. Evaporated milk is thinner, much thinner, and condensed milk is very well. Of course, the one with sweet in it, it's very almost as thick as honey. It's very very thick and very viscous and all. So, but you see, you're thinking like I was. Well, before canned products, what did people do? And when did they do it, and how did they get it done? So I looked up, I was looking up other flans, and your sweet friends, the two hot tamales.
Ah, yes.
Had a recipe for a flan using corn, I think there's used corn. And then in their recipe, it says, one recipe of homemade condensed milk. I thought, aha, I can make my own. So flip it to the computer, and it takes 6 cups of milk. Now they have put sugar in it. Just don't put the sugar in it, and bring the milk to a boil and reduce and cook for 45 minutes, stirring continually. And then it will reduce and then simmer it for another 15 minutes. It will reduce to 3 cups. You've put in 6 cups of milk and reduced it by half. And then strain it, and the milk can be refrigerated for up to 1 week. And that was their homemade condensed milk. And God bless her, didn't Paula Deen have a recipe for sweetened condensed milk? And this one's even faster. It's boiling water, 4 tablespoons of butter, 3/4 of a cup of sugar, and 1 cup of powdered milk, carnation powdered milk. And you mix it all together, and that's it. All you do is mix it together. Mm-hmm. It's done, and you can store it for a week. Hers, I would just leave the sugar out of it and have a thick condensed milk. And then I remembered that there is a recipe in Indian cooking that uses a cooked down milk. So I'm covering my savory dishes now with the idea of, I believe I'll do a little of that condensed milk and make a savory. Now, you make a savory with using either puree of vegetables or some additions of a very fine vegetable like corn, avocado, lime, and you make these savory. Now, if you get too savory or more savory, and you chop up vegetables in it, you've all of a sudden made a timbale. And a timbale is another French taste, which is really a savory custard or like flan. It's done in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Now, all of these, I'm also thinking that there are, within this kind of family, there are things that are like this that have crusts.
Yes. Yes. Now, they are also called flans. And so I was remembering, now, wait. My mother didn't know of anything about this. What did she know about? And what she knew about were custard pies. And Grandma's egg custard pie is a standard. And the Amish make a very good custard pie. So I found the two recipes on those. And then remember, there is a chess pie made in the South. And that's a custard pie, except it doesn't have all of the stuff in it, and it's made in a crust. So chess pies and custard pies, and we had custard pies a lot. Uh-huh. I always thought they were beautiful. She would scrape nutmeg on top of those, and I always thought they were beautiful. So yes, they kind of sneak and go in different directions.
Yeah. And just to round that up, a savory, isn't that a quiche? Custard
absolutely, pie? Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, it is. Yes, right. You got it.
All right, well.
So I'm going to talk about that.
Okay. Questions welcome. Recipes welcome. It's our monthly cooking show. We do it on the first Wednesday, 10 o'clock, have been for a long time, with Doyle Moore. We like to call him our chef in residence. He picks a topic and says, well, let's talk about that and explore interesting ways to do a particular dish Or, you know, sometimes we've talked about regional cooking from different places in the world or from different places in this country. And basically the idea is to enjoy food and think about how important it is in our lives and how, you know, we've also talked about the fact, well, there are certain things that you associate with certain times of the year or certain holidays or you know, whatever. And this time around, he said, well, he was really interested in thinking about custards and flans. And we've already talked about how different people do similar sorts of things. They may call them different things. They may cook them in different ways. There may be crust. There may not be crust. You know, they'll cook it in different sorts of ways, but that they're, that's all part of this big kind of family. That's the idea. And if you ever thought about making your own condensed milk, well, folks, we'll tell you about that. And somehow it does not surprise me that Paula Deen would put butter
of course.
In there, of course.
Yep.
All right. Questions welcome. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. And here is a caller in Urbana. Line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I don't know whether my recipe technically falls within what you're doing today because it doesn't have egg in it, as custards and flans would, but I ran across New York Times recipe for a hazelnut panna cotta.
Oh, yes, panna cotta. That's another version. Yes, good. Tell us about it.
Well, it's very, very easy to make because there's no baking involved, and it has Nutella. And you can't go wrong there.
Okay, yes.
So you begin by taking a 1 1/8 teaspoon powdered gelatin and dissolving it in, you know, 2 tablespoons of water and letting it sit. And then you heat 1 1/2 cups heavy cream with 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt.
And, with salt, okay.
And once you have that up to, you know, where it's hot, then you pour that over the gelatin and mix them together. And then you blend in your Nutella plus a cup of whole milk and 1/2 teaspoon vanilla.
Now, how much Nutella?
A whole cup of Nutella.
Okay, 1 cup.
Yeah. And then I'll go through the ingredients again at the
okay.
end. And then you just whisk that all together and then strain it through a sieve into ramekins and cover it with plastic and refrigerate it. And there's no baking, which means you can't overbake or anything.
Right,
you know.
Right.
It's absolutely simple. The texture is creamy. I made that several weeks ago, and the women in my house were absolutely in love with me.
Good for you.
So I'll run through the ingredients
yes.
again. Oh, I left out. There's also 2 ounces of bittersweet chocolate.
Oh, 2 ounces.
When you have the cream hot, you put those in, and it just dissolves.
Two ounces.
Here's the ingredient list.
Yes.
1 1/8 teaspoon powdered gelatin, 2 ounces bittersweet chocolate, 1 cup Nutella, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 1/2 cups heavy cream, 1/2 teaspoon vanilla extract, 1 cup whole milk. And then I took hazelnuts and toasted them and skinned them.
Oh, good,
and,
yes.
You know, coarse chopped and put those on as a garnish.
Oh, so they're sprinkled on top. Good,
on
yes.
On top, yeah. And that's it. You chill them, you know, for several hours, and, you know, it's really fast and very tasty.
And very tasty. Oh, no, that sounds good, especially with all those hazelnuts in it.
The texture was very, very, I mean, it,
soft.
Sometimes it's very soft, but sometimes when you buy the cheap sort of prepackaged chocolate puddings,
oh.
you know you're eating gelatin.
Oh.
But in this case,
yes.
I think it's because of the cream, probably.
I believe you're right.
When you have good quality ingredients, like that, it has a very nice texture. It's not at all like instant pudding.
Well, I'm glad to know this because I was thinking of panna cotta when I was looking up the recipes to sort of see that I had covered everything, and I thought, doesn't word mean cooked cream?
I think that's right.
I think that that's what it comes from. I don't know how it's translated, but anyway. So actually, that's what it is. It's cream that has got gelatin in it and then the flavors. So that's what makes the thickness. Well, I'm very glad to know that. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Thanks for the call. You are, in fact, correct, at least if if Wikipedia, font of all knowledge, is correct, that indeed is what panna cotta means. It means cooked cream. And I guess in most cases that it is something that involves cooking. So I guess it would be in this particular recipe.
Heating the cream would be the only thing, because that's got to melt the gelatin.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well.
Oh, I'm glad to get that. Yes.
We have somebody else. We have someone who called in and wanted to know, could we again talk about the recipe for a condensed milk? Let's hold that, because I have another person here who's waiting. We'll get to them. But I promise that that listener that we'll do that again. We'll come back to the condensed milk. Let's talk with someone in Champagne. This would be line three. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Yeah, I was surprised that you had so much trouble with flan. I learned to cook flan about 25 years ago in San Diego with a Latino woman that worked with my sister.
Yes.
And it never failed me, and I just wanted to give you the quick recipe.
Oh, good.
By the way, it's fabulous. It's a total of 1¾ cups of sugar, 8 eggs, 4 cups.
Eight whole eggs,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
4 cups of milk, and at times I've used low fat, and at times I've used part half and half in cream, just depending upon, you know, the diet. A 3-inch stick of cinnamon, and 1½ teaspoons of vanilla. Now you take 3/4 of the cup and 3/4 of sugar. You take 3/4 of that and caramelize it. So
oh yes,
in a cast iron skillet. Don't stir it. Just sprinkle it all out in there.
Now, in making that, let me ask you a question. In making that, do you add any water to that sugar?
None.
Because some of the recipes ask for that. Well, it takes a long time to caramelize it, and my friend caramelized it in less than 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in just sugar. Didn't take very long at all.
I use a cast iron skillet.
Yes.
To get it nice and hot.
Yes.
Sprinkle it over the bottom, and it probably takes me about 5 minutes before it's nice and brown, and you have to watch it.
You watch it all the time. You don't walk away from that, and you don't stir it. You just kind of nudge the pan around. Yeah,
right.
That's that. Well, there are a lot of recipes that add a lot of water to it. It takes about a half hour to do that, and so I like that idea that you use the straight sugar and then just caramelize it. Yes, good.
Okay, and then until it's nice and brown, and then you pour that in the bottom of the souffle dish.
Yes.
And now you're going to heat your milk on the stove with the 3-inch stick of cinnamon in the milk. So the milk is flavored with the cinnamon without getting it...
Without making it brown.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't think of that. I didn't think that would be the way. So I was putting the powdered chopped. Oh, good. I'm glad to know that I can clean that up. Okay.
Okay, and then you beat the eggs up with the 1 cup of sugar, the 8 eggs and
yes.
1 cup of sugar, and then you slowly, after the milk is nice and hot, until it starts to send bubbles up, you don't want it boiling, just nice and scalded, then you add it slowly to the eggs, mixing, you know, with the eggs and sugar, and then you add your 1½ teaspoons of vanilla, and by then the caramelized sugar is nice and cold at the bottom of the souffle.
Right, it'll harden, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you just pour the flan mixture on top and bake it in a water bath for...
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
How long?
325 for 40 minutes.
Oh, 320. I was going to suggest that. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I bake mine at 350 for 30 minutes. And I thought, you know, if I went down to 325, I could bake it for 40 minutes, and that would probably be your right.
And it doesn't come out stringy or hard. It's the perfect
time.
Mm-hmm. And then after it cools, just loosen the sides with a spatula, and you can flip it over. A plate and surround it with whatever fresh fruit is in season.
Now, do you chill it? Do you put it in the refrigerator?
Well, you know, I like to make it for a group because it's spectacular, easy, and unusual for a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, I tend to get it in the refrigerator in the morning and then serve it in the evening and then put the fruit all around it at the very end. And the nice caramelized sugar comes sits on the top but comes down over the side, makes a great presentation.
Yes. Now, I wanted to talk about that because I believe that that is something that's a very important difference, is that when you pour the caramel into the pan first, it's hard. It'll get hard in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
But you let the caramel, you let the custard sit on top of that in the refrigerator for at least 5 or 6 hours or overnight, and it melts that sugar so that when you invert the pan, then you've got all liquid on the bottom. And it's like, wait a minute, you were solid when I put you in, but now you're liquid. So,
yes,
and that's very important, is to have that time, or else you'll never be able to get it out of the pan.
That's right. It really helps loosen the whole thing up, too, and it pours over like a
And then
a
it
nice
pours
glaze.
Over like a, yeah, it's, oh, that is so good, too.
And it colors the top of the flan, you know, that nice caramely color without, you know, really being a substance. It just soaks into it. And I liked your suggestion of grating some nutmeg on the top of that as well.
That just a little bit helps.
Yeah. So thanks for the
show.
Well,
thank you.
No, thank you. That's great. And that they're relatively simple thing, and yet it's really pretty. It makes a really nice presentation.
Yes, it does.
And that doesn't really involve that much more other than, you know, you put the plate on there, you turn it over, you got your thing there, and then you can really dress it up.
Yeah.
With, as the caller says, you can put some nice fresh berries.
I put fresh berries on it. Or it doesn't even take it, you know. It's delicious the way it
could
is.
Could just go by
it's
it.
It's very though. Exotic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. We are moving into about our last 20 minutes here. It's our monthly cooking show. We do it on the first Wednesday with the guy we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. He said this time around he'd like to be talking about flans and custards, and that we have been and got a couple of calls. And if people have recipes they'd like to share or any other thoughts, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, and email will-talk@illinois.edu. We have a caller in Downs. Let's talk with them. Line number 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello there.
I have another idea for a milk.
Yes.
To go in these things. This is something that I got from an old magazine that's no longer being published. About using cottage cheese. It had gotten a bad rap because I think it was Richard Nixon ate it with ketchup for lunch. And
yes.
People were just horrified. And they called it survival sauce.
Survival sauce.
Yes. It is a cup of cottage cheese, a cup of milk.
Milk.
And 2 tablespoons of flour.
Oh, okay.
And the original method was to mix the cottage cheese with the flour, bring the milk to the to a boil, add the cottage cheese, and whisk it until it melted.
Oh, that it would actually melt in the the hot milk. I see.
And what I started doing was using dry milk.
Uh-huh.
Putting it in a food processor, the cottage cheese, a third cup of dry milk, and the flour, whirling it, and then adding boiling water to it.
Okay, so it would get the heat in there.
Right, yeah. And that seemed to do just as well.
And that was in the food processor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Julia Child had an old sort of a quiche ratio thing. And I started using this in place of the cream.
Uh-huh.
And for savory things, it's wonderful.
I think that's what I'm looking for, because I don't want all the sugar, and I don't want to have only sweet flans.
And this adds a tiny bit of the cheesy flavor, but not a lot. I've even used it with sweets. I've used it in a pear tart.
Oh, that sounds good, yes, pears and cottage cheese. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think it's a wonderful thing. It'll keep for, you know, a few days in the refrigerator. And it's so easy to make. And I use the reduced fat cottage cheese, and it just works really well.
Cottage cheese and milk and flour. That sounds good.
And the flour keeps it from curdling.
That would be it. It almost makes a not a roux, but it does what it the flour gathers some of the moisture.
It keeps it from separating when you heat it.
Oh, that's good to know that. I'm going to jump onto that one right away along with you, because I've been wanting to make something that isn't quite as sweet, and so that was my search. Well, I'm glad to know that. Survival sauce.
Yeah. I will also tell you that when I have made, I made a flan for a class that I was teaching, and people were wandering into the class area from time to time, and men were just gaga over the fact that I was making, you know, a flan.
Well, you see, there is a mystery. There is a mystery to all this, which is why I have been hesitant and why I was so upset that what I had tried to learn I had failed at. And then my friend comes to town and bam, 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 there it is, so simple. So that's why I jumped into it. And I'm very happy with mine right now.
It's a very nice thing, and I think we forget about them.
We do. Now, they became very popular in the 50s. They were traditional in places like Mexico and Portugal and Spain, and flans go back to the medieval period or something like it. I mean, egg custard things. But in the 50s was when everyone sort of jumped on the flan wagon and were making flans. And it was suggested by a reader, because I was reading the notes in the internet, that it was because the canned milk companies had sort of promoted that. So it was very popular, I remember, in the 50s. That's when I had first tried it.
We ate them in the Philippines, of course.
Oh, yes, with the Spanish influence, yes.
But they very often make them with coconut milk.
Ooh.
Which, of course, is wonderful.
That sounds good. Well, I may have to give some thought about that. Well, I'm glad to know that. Thank you for the survival sauce.
Welcome.
I will survive.
Good.
All right. Thanks for the call. Well, I want to make sure that we get back to
yes.
the request here from someone earlier who heard you talking about how you can make your own condensed milk.
Well,
and someone listening was wondering, give us that once more.
Well, this one is very simple. Paula Deen, one third of a cup of boiling water, 4 tablespoons of butter, 3/4 of a cup of sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of pure vanilla extract, and 1 cup of powdered milk. She recommends carnation. Using an electric mixer, blend together the sugar, butter, and vanilla. Add the powdered milk and blend until thick. And so there's no cooking, but the boiling water would, in a sense, kind of bind all of these things together. And store it in a refrigerator for up to a week. Now, she puts in 3/4 of a cup of sugar. I would want to leave the sugar out of it, would be what my want is. Then for the homemade condensed milk by the 2 hot tamales, it is 6 cups of non-fat milk. And then they wanted it sweet, so they put in 5 tablespoons of sugar. My guess is if you, leave the sugar out, and bring the milk to a boil and reduce and simmer it for 45 minutes, stirring occasionally. And then that's when they put in the sugar. Don't put anything in it and cook it for another 15 minutes. So that's a full hour until the milk has reduced to 3 cups. Now, I didn't go to my file and look up the Indian recipe, but there's an Indian sweet that is made with milk cooked in very much the same manner. So actually the condensed milk is just boiling it down until you've gotten a lot of the water out of it. But those are the two recipes I have, and then the one that the listener called in with the survival sauce, which sounds kind of interesting. Cottage cheese and milk and flour.
Okay. We also had someone call in and offered this kind of a tip. You know, when you crack an egg and you open up an egg, there is this little bit of fibrous tissue stuff
My friends call those hooties.
Now, the hooties, this is the thing, and there's a Greek word for that. The word comes from Greek, and it means something like, it means something like hailstone, and I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. Anyway, the deal is, it's this thing, it holds the yolk. I mean, it holds the yolk.
Yeah, together.
Together, and sort of in place. And so what the caller said is that you want to take that out of because otherwise you'll have a little lump in your custard from that. The listener says get that out of there because you'll have an
you'll recognize it, you'll know what it is you're talking about. It has a little color to it, white.
It's sort of whitish color. Yeah.
And thickening, so your
end result, you're going to be a little happier with the end result. It will be nicer and smoother. You won't have that little thing in there if you just get that out of there.
That is also one of the reasons why some of these mixtures are strained.
Ah, okay. So that would help
get rid of that. Yes, sometimes it's strained. I don't bother with that.
Yeah. All right. See, it's amazing the stuff you learn.
Well,
doing this show,
and stick with me, kid, and you'll learn something.
Man, you'd think after all this time, I should have learned something already. Aha. Uh-huh. All right. Let's go to Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
All this talk about flan and creme brulee made me think of a recipe that my aunt, who is long gone, used to make called eggnog pie.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it was really good.
Ooh.
I haven't had a piece of it now that I got the recipe
eggnog pie.
I think I'll make it.
Let's talk about it.
Okay. It's 1 teaspoon of plain gelatin, 1 tablespoon of cold water, 3 egg yolks, and this sounded good, only 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, 1 cup of milk.
2 tablespoons, okay.
Yeah, 1 cup of milk, and 1 teaspoon of vanilla, and 1 cup of whipping cream whipped.
Oh, and 1 cup of whipping cream, okay.
Mm-hmm. Dissolve the gelatin in the water, and in a double boiler, I don't even know if people know what double boilers are anymore.
Oh, yes, they might.
Cook other ingredients until thick. Add the gelatin and stir until dissolved. Add the vanilla and cool. When cool, fold in the whipped cream. Pour into a baked pie shell. Sprinkle the top with nutmeg and chill. It's very simple.
Yes, it is.
The ingredients are simple.
Well, you see, we're kind of with the gelatin and the creams. We're like the panna cotta, and then with the eggs. Then now those eggs. Let's see, you're not baking that. So the eggs are going to be, we'll call them raw.
We'll call them pasteurized. And you know, you can buy that.
Yeah, you can.
Buy that egg beater or something like that.
No,
I mean egg yolk.
Egg yolk, yeah.
Yeah, which would be pasteurized.
That sounds like a mixture between the panna cotta and a creme brulee.
Yeah.
I like it.
We used
and she called it, called it what? Eggnog pie?
Eggnog pie.
Eggnog pie.
But this is really, that's from the late 40s, early 50s.
Eggnog pie.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm glad to know that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right, thanks. So now just back in the day, there used to be things, mousses and sauces and icings and stuff that used raw egg.
Yes, there is. And I've been wanting, I have forgotten the mousse that I wanted, that I have been wanting to make. I made it a long time ago. Again, it would have been sometime in the 60s. I know that it had some, you heated milk and you had chocolate chips and you had an egg in it and you did it in a blender. It was before Cuisinart, and all of it, and then pour it, and then you would just let it chill. And I have been trying to find that recipe, and I just cannot find it. I used to make it all the time. Mm-hmm. It was a chocolate mousse, of a chocolate mousse.
I had a recipe that I used to make, and people really liked it for. It was a chocolate mousse pie. And it involved, but the reason, I guess one of the reasons I stopped making it was it involved raw eggs. And so we were being told, oh, no, do anything with raw eggs. I guess what I'm asking is now that you can go and you can buy pasteurized raw, essentially pasteurized raw eggs, or you can even buy them separate. You can just get just the yolks or just the whites. Are those going to behave the same? So if you want to go back and make one of these things...
I think it's a good question.
Would that work just as well as raw?
No, I found that there are... I found a couple of recipes for flans that used egg beaters. And so my guess is,
so it
yes,
should be,
it will
work. Just
work.
Fine. They'll just act like a raw egg.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because I think probably also back when... That was a big thing. Chocolate mousse was a big thing. I'm sure that I also made chocolate mousse as a dessert, put it into a little glass, you know, and put a little whipped cream on top. And
yeah, the one that we're describing, what we're talking about, you don't have to mix up cream extra and then fold it in and all that, or egg whites or something like that for the regular kind of mousse. I did find a recipe for a Manhattan mousse, which has got chocolate and whiskey and cherries in it. But it's a little bit different.
All right. Line number two in Champagne. We'll talk with someone here. Hello.
Hi. If you don't have a delivery of milk, you have a cow in the backyard.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
So you also have, when you heat the milk, you have a sort of a half-inch high by about 3-inch a circle of ceramics with little curbs in them that you put in the heating apparatus and that stops it from catching on the bottom. It's a little bit of ceramic thing that it keeps the milk from burning.
Oh, I have known of I know it's...
They varied in their size and shape, but it was used a lot. And the other thing I was going to say, my mother used to make custards with a 12-inch by 6-inch pan, a fairly big pan.
Yes.
With 18 eggs.
18 eggs.
And that must have been wonderful for your cholesterol.
Well, I would think so. I'm sort of using a flan as part of my breakfast eating. That's why I have all these made. But my goodness, 18 eggs. Yeah. I would want a big family if I had to make that.
Okay, thanks very much. Enjoy the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's another instance where some things that are put in the bottom. Generally, it is water that has some things in the bottom, metal things that allow it not to. What am I trying to remember? I guess it's in the Japanese tea ceremony. But they use it in order to make a sound in the water when it's heating. But the fact that something is down there and water is bubbling around it is what he's talking about, so it doesn't stick or burn.
Huh, okay. So, and that's you have to be really careful when you're heating milk.
Milk, especially, yeah. Milk. It's dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. We have a couple minutes here, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, email will-talk@illinois.edu. I'm just really interested in the idea that somebody would make their own condensed milk. I guess it goes back to a time where you would say, well, if you wanted that, you might have to make your own. I guess I also kind of like the idea that now people are more and more just, I don't know if it's for grins or what, they're doing things like that. And they're saying, well, rather than going down to the store and buying the little can, I'll do that myself.
Well,
you know,
because it was a time when it wasn't. There was a time when it wasn't made and manufactured for you. Therefore, what did you use? Well, what we're finding out is like this one straightforward flan recipe that somebody gave was 8 eggs, sugar, and 4 cups of milk. That's 4 cups of milk, not an evaporated one and not this one. 4 cups of milk. So some recipes suggest don't use half and half, and some of them want you to put cream in it. I mean, I knew there would be as many recipes as there are people listening.
Yeah. Oh, and I got one for you. And did you know that a creme anglaise is a custard?
Yes, that's an English
It's just thin.
It's a very thin custard.
It's a very thin custard.
A creme anglaise, yes. Yeah. Let's see, what's that used for? I think it says a sauce over certain things, creme anglaise.
Yeah, and I...
Well, it's called it's English cream. I mean, that's right. What the Italians and French called it, English cream. So it's creme anglaise.
Can be poured as a sauce over cakes and fruits.
Over cakes and fruits.
Alternately, can be eaten as a dessert on its own. For example, floating island. The cream is poured into a bowl with a piece of meringue.
Yes.
Floated on top. Now, there's a blast from the past. Does anybody do that anymore?
I don't know. What's the other one? There's floating islands, and then there's another one that I thought was more solid. One of them is a bunch of whipped egg yolks that are floating in this cream. But there's a second variety of the floating islands. I don't know.
They also say it's done with meringue.
Yeah.
And it could also be used as a base for desserts. I don't know. But I just thinking that was, again, one of those things that at one time that was kind of a very, very fancy sort of a deal, floating island. And I don't know, you know, nobody, I think of that there's some movie. It's the desk set, I think. It's the one with Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, where he's the computer expert. And,
oh, yes.
And at some point, he's in her apartment, and she serves him floating island.
Floating island, you know, well, that's
you don't have desserts like that anymore.
No, I'm afraid you're
floating
right.
Floating island. But then, you know, one of these days, someone will rediscover it, and we'll read about it in some magazine, and it'll be, oh, floating island. Look at that.
You have to have that for
all
special.
Right. Well, we're just about the point where we got to finish up for this time around. Any last thing you want to mention?
I want to make a bid in here for I'll give you the instructions are very simple. A chess pie that I rather like, and when I go to Nashville, I always get a chess pie because a chess pie is a southern dish. 8 ounces of unsalted butter, 2 cups of sugar, 7 egg yolks, it's a lot, 1½ teaspoons of vanilla, 1/2 cup of heavy cream, and here's the secret, 2 tablespoons of cornmeal.
Cornmeal?
Yes, that's why a chess pie has a certain quality
sort of
to it. Because you've got butter, eggs, cream, the same stuff we've been talking about to make this, but it's got this cornmeal in it. And all you do is really mix everything, cream the butter and the sugar, add the egg yolks, vanilla, and cream, fold in the cornmeal, pour it in the pie shell, and bake it 35 to 40 minutes at 350 degrees. Filling should be firm but not too crisp. So that's just another addition of, well, this is a flan with cornmeal in it. Wouldn't you know the Southern folks would do exactly that?
We got to go. Doyle Moore, our chef in residence, thank you very much.